Let's continue reading verses 12 through 22 of Genesis 48. In this second half of the chapter, we have Jacob's blessing upon Joseph's two sons, Manasseh, the firstborn, and Ephraim, the younger son, who gets the greater blessing. Genesis 48, verse 12. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, By you Israel will bless, saying, May God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. Once again, some background notes. After Jacob officially adopted Joseph's sons as his own to be tribes in Israel, he proceeded to bless them. Verse 12. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. The position beside the knees was, in that culture, the place for this official transaction of adoption. Notice they're not sitting on his knees. These boys are in their 20s. The fact that Joseph bows down with his face to the earth, well, it shows the solemnity of this occasion. Now, when the blessing takes place, Joseph naturally brings Manasseh, his firstborn, to Jacob's right side, and Ephraim, the younger son, to Jacob's left side, so that Jacob's right hand of blessing would be placed on Manasseh's head. After all, Manasseh was the oldest. But old Jacob, whose eyes were dim with age, verse 10, crossed his arms so that the right hand of blessing went on Ephraim, the younger son's head. Well, at this point, Joseph thought his father was making a mistake, and he tried to uncross Jacob's arms. But Jacob knew what he was doing, and he would not change. Verse 19, but his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. Well, this blessing, of course, comes true. Ephraim and Manasseh both become great tribes in Israel. But Ephraim becomes the greater tribe. In fact, Ephraim became so prestigious a tribe that the whole northern kingdom of Israel, consisting of 10 of the tribes, became known as Ephraim. Read the book of Hosea in this connection. Now, just one more background note. In verse 22, Jacob says to Joseph, Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. It seems that this refers to that special plot of land that Jacob bought from Hamor, the king of Shechem, back in Genesis 33. Apparently, after Jacob left this area, he had to go back and reclaim this land by force. We also read about this plot of land in Joshua 24, when the bones of Joseph were buried here. And we also read about this plot of land in John 4, when the Lord meets the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, which was on this land. So this special plot of land is deeded over to Joseph at this point. Well, more we could say on the background notes, but because of time, we got to move on. Doctrinal point number one, God progressively reveals his character to growing Christians. God progressively reveals his character to growing Christians. Notice the way Jacob refers to God in verses 15 and 16. God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Now that's certainly a lot different than the way Jacob referred to God back in chapter 28 after his dream at Bethel. Genesis 28 and verse 16. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. What's the difference anyway? Well, Jacob has matured as a believer. He has grown in faith as God has progressively revealed or made known his character to Jacob. Jacob has come to know God as a God who makes and keeps his covenants. That's the primary idea here in the first clause of verse 15. God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked. And Jacob has come to know God as a good shepherd. That's really the idea in the second phrase of verse 15. The God who has fed me or shepherded me all my life long to this day. This is the first mention in the Bible of the word shepherd, by the way. And Jacob has come to know God as the angel who had redeemed him from all evil. Verse 16. The idea here is that the Lord God had taken Jacob out of situations of evil and had protected him from evil. This, by the way, is the first use of the word redeem in the Bible. The angel here, of course, would be the angel of the Lord. That is the Lord himself, not just an angel created by God, but the angel of the Lord himself. So God progressively revealed himself to Jacob, and Jacob matured in faith. And the same is true in our lives. As we grow in faith, God continues to make himself known to us. And as we come to know God more, we grow in faith. It's a wonderful cycle. Have you come to know God as Jacob did? Have you come to know God as the one who keeps his promises? Have you come to know God as the good shepherd who cares for you? Have you come to know God as your redeemer and protector from evil? God progressively reveals his character to growing Christians. Doctrinal or teaching point number two, God progressively reveals his program to growing Christians. God progressively reveals his program to growing Christians. When Jacob officially adopted Joseph's two sons and blessed them, it was not a spur-of-the-moment decision. We believe that God revealed to Jacob that this was what Jacob was supposed to do. Now, how can we say that anyway? Because of Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Biblical faith is always based on what God has revealed. When it says that by faith Jacob blessed these boys, we can be sure that this was not something Jacob dreamed up. No, this was revealed by God. When did God reveal this to Jacob? We don't know. But it was certainly after Jacob came to Egypt and after he was reunited with his son Joseph. God progressively revealed his program to Jacob. You know what's interesting to me here is that even Joseph, to whom God gave the gift of interpretation of prophetic dreams, even Joseph was not aware of this program. Jacob was sensitive to God's program here. Do you see the lesson? God progressively reveals his program to growing Christians. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. One of our spiritual blessings is the knowledge of God's program for the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. That's a spiritual blessing that we have, knowledge of God's program. And we have many other scriptures giving us the details of God's coming program. But many Christians are not aware of these things. Why? Because they are not growing Christians. God progressively reveals his program to growing Christians. And a lot more we could say there, but we need to move on to our practical application. Practical application number one. Have you experienced God's crossed hands of blessing? Have you experienced God's crossed hands of blessing? Now, what do we mean by this anyway? Well, you see, the natural way was for Manasseh to receive the greater blessing. But God's will was for Ephraim to receive the greater blessing. Thus, Jacob crossed his hands or crossed his arms in line with God's will. It was not the normal and natural way, but it was God's way. And the same is true today. Many times God departs from the natural, normal, expected way of doing things because, as he says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And this is true many times in the way he blesses us. Let me share with you an area where I would say I've experienced God's crossed hands of blessing. I do not have the natural talent of writing. In fact, I don't like to write. It's a lot of work for me to write. I scribble and scratch and tear up and start over. And doing it on the computer keyboard doesn't even help. Now, some of you have read Devotions for Growing Christians, something I write. Now, you might think, oh, Dave Reed, he just sits down and kind of whips that thing off, you know. No, not so. Hours and hours and hours go into that because I'm not a natural writer. But here's the point. God has led me to write, and he has blessed me in this area, even though I'm not a natural writer. I've been writing Devotions for Growing Christians now for 23 years, I guess, and God has blessed in this area. I'm sure you could share many illustrations of God's crossed hands of blessing you've experienced in your life. You just think about it. Have you experienced God's crossed hands of blessing? Practical application number two. Let's be like Joseph in reference to our children. Let's be like Joseph in reference to our children. When Joseph realized what God's will was for his boys, he submitted to it. Ephraim and Manasseh would have had every opportunity to advance in Egyptian society and become successful there in Egypt. But Joseph looked beyond all these things and really wanted the best for his boys. He wanted God's will, and when it was obvious, he submitted to it. And by the way, Ephraim and Manasseh show great faith here too. Remember, they're young men in their early 20s, but they were willing to leave all the status and potential of Egypt and identify with their Bedouin-type relatives. It shows, by the way, that Joseph had given his boys a good upbringing. What about parents here this morning? What do you really want for your children? Success in this world or God's will? Let's be like Joseph in reference to our children.